Take your Bibles tonight, turn to Psalm 85. Psalm 85. And tonight we want to speak on the subject of revival expectations. What do you expect? What are you looking for? I expect God to work in my heart. I expect God to work in your heart. I'm looking for revival. We were talking about it at the supper table, talking about the fact that folks used to have revivals in this area, and they had so many folks they couldn't all get in the house. And back in the old days, they had to open the windows, and everything was going on out there. Sometimes they'd even have a shooting at the revival meeting. I mean, they had all kinds of things going on. But folks came to the meeting. And here in Psalm 85, beginning in verse 6, in one of my favorite revival verses, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" I like rejoicing in the Lord.
Amen.
And if we get revived, we can rejoice.
Right. Amen.
Now, revival is for the saved.
Right.
That's what revival is. Dead people need resurrection.
Amen.
They're dead in trespasses and sins. And they're as dead as a dead man is dead. And there must be a work of God in regeneration. Now, verse number 7 says, "Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation." And they're speaking of deliverance. "I will hear what God the Lord will speak." How about you? You want to hear what God says?
Amen.
"For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly." There's a key. Don't turn back to the things of the world. "Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Amen.
So we need to fear God, that glory may dwell in our land. Boy, we need the glory of God to dwell in our land. Amen?
Amen.
We need God to move in America in a mighty way. We've got movements, but they're not the right kind of movements. We've got religion that's taking this country over, but not salvation by Christ.
Amen. Amen.
"Mercy and truth are met together." I like this. "Righteousness and peace kissed each other."
Amen.
"Truth shall spring out of the earth." And it says, "And righteousness shall look down from heaven." Isn't that good?
Amen.
Righteousness looking down from heaven because God's people want revival. "Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good." And I want you to remember that phrase, "The Lord will give that which is good. And our land shall yield her increase." Well, we need a harvest of souls.
Amen.
"Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps." Righteousness always goes before the Lord. "For he is righteousness in all of his ways." We need to expect God to do something.
Amen.
I hope when you have your breakfast in the morning, you're praying for revival.
Amen.
I pray that at lunchtime, when you have your lunch, you're praying for revival.
Amen.
I hope that during the day, as you're about your daily chores, that you're thinking about and praying for revival. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Jeremiah 33:3.
Amen.
Call unto the Lord. He will answer. I believe we live in one of the most prayerless generations that's ever been on the face of the earth.
Right.
We're too busy.
Yeah.
We're not spending time in prayer. And we need to get into the Word of God. Look into God's Word. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." It's the Word of God that instructs us and helps us. And we follow the Word of God. And by doing so, it keeps us out from all of these things that lead us astray. Expecting revival. Looking for revival. Believing in revival. In Hosea, we have a recipe for revival. A recipe. It's given to us. And we go to Hosea chapter 14, and I want you to follow the recipe. First of all, we see here in Hosea an invitation. We're looking at Hosea chapter 14 and verse 1. Here's an invitation to repent. Here's an invitation to have revival. An invitation and an expectation. The Bible says here, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Return to the Lord. What does America need to do tonight? Return unto the Lord our God. What do we need to do as the children of God? We need to get back close to the Lord. Amen. We need to be close unto the Lord our God. And I believe that the plea of God to Israel is the plea of God to America today. Turn from your wicked ways and return unto the Lord your God. As Christians, we are to turn away from sin and follow the Lord. Now, I believe what the lost person needs to do is turn unto the Lord. Amen. That's what they need. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia. It's a change of heart. There has to be a change of heart. There are a lot of folks who have gone to revival meetings where people have said to them, hold on, and somebody else says, let go, and another one says, hold on. Another one says, let go, and they say, I don't know what to do, let go or hold on. Tell you what you need to do, you need to let God.
Amen.
The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 1:9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had into you, how you turned to God from idols. Amen. To serve the living God.
Yep.
Turning to God. There are religions today that teach that you have to turn from sin to be saved. No, you've got to turn to God to be saved.
Amen.
And by doing so, you've turned from sin, but a lot of folks believe in work salvation, and Baptists had better be very careful that they're not preaching and teaching what is close to a work salvation. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Can happen. Your salvation, what does the Bible say? Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
I believe it's wholly of the Lord. There's nothing you can do except trust Him.
Amen.
You must have a mind that is changed, a heart that is changed.
Amen.
That's what the Bible teaches us here. 1 John 1:9 is written to the believer. You read the context, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's for you and I. Confess your sins, and you'll be cleansed. Here in Hosea 14, as we go back there in verse number 1, it says to Israel here, thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. You know, sin always takes you down. It never lifts you up.
Right.
Sin is always a downward path. Always. And friends, we fall into sin when we lose our first love, the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell my family, I've told them all of these years, I've told my wife, I've told my children, that my first love is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I can love my wife and love my children more if I love Jesus first.
Amen.
He's most important in my life. Without Him, I would not have salvation. I would not have heaven. I wouldn't be living for Him if it were not for His love for me. I like that song, Roll Back the Curtain. A memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from.
Amen.
And where I could have been.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Amen.
I was preaching in New Orleans a couple of weeks ago, and growing up on the Mississippi coast and being there close to New Orleans and Mobile and going to those places many times during my childhood, I thought of where I might have been without the Lord. But isn't God good to us?
Amen.
He's good to us.
Amen.
Friends, when we lose our first love, There's some things that happen. A loss of love means a loss of joy.
Amen.
I see it all the time. The most unhappy Christians are those who are not in love with Jesus like they used to be.
Amen. Yes.
There's a loss of praise and power and passion whenever you are not right with God. And you certainly have a loss of peace. Amen. There's a loss of peace. We need to be right with God. We need to be on fire for the Lord. We need to be close to the Lord. Remember when you were first saved, how fired up you were?
Amen.
Man, I was fired up. I was reading that Bible. And they were telling me, you'll go crazy if you keep reading that Bible. You'll go crazy reading that book. And I got crazy. I'm telling you, the Word of God is so precious. So wonderful. You heard about the farmer driving down the old country road, and his wife was sitting over there by the door, polishing the door handle. And after a while, she said, "Honey, do you remember when we were young how we used to sit close together? And how we looked like a two-headed monster going down the road? And remember how close we used to be?" He said, "Uh-huh." Kept driving. "Uh-huh." And guess who moved? "I'm still under the wheel where I've always been." Who did the sliding over? Amen. These new vehicles won't let you get close.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You got all this junk in the way. Amen. That ain't right. That's true. I like to sit close to my wife.
Amen.
Amen. I think she's glad all that junk's there. But no, I'm just joking. Now, don't anybody let no CD get back to home. All right? Don't let that happen. Leonard Ravenhill, the great speaker on revival, said, "We must be hot or cold, flaming or freezing, burning out or cast out, lack of heat and lack of love God hates." Some churches are cold. Man, I preach in some churches where I struggle. It's just hard to preach. Hard to preach. I mean, I preached in a church some years ago. When I finished that week, I had to take a week off. Man, they beat me up. It was tough preaching. It was. Some churches are so cold, you could say they're pastored, or they're called the first church of the deep freeze, pastored by Dr. Jack Frost. I mean, they're cold and indifferent. Oh, I like the warmth. Amen.
Amen.
Like to be on fire for God. And many folks today are more concerned about air-conditioned church than they are prayer-conditioned. We need the church to be prayer-conditioned more than anything else. And so there's an invitation for repentance and for revival. And then we find in chapter 14 of Hosea, in verses 2 and 3, instruction on how to repent so you can expect revival. God never tells you to do something without giving you a way to do it. Amen?
Amen.
He said, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape." God always gives you what you need.
Amen.
And so here in Hosea 14 and in verse number 2, we read what the Scripture says. "Take with you words and turn to the Lord, say unto Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, and we will render the calves of our lips." Let's look at this. Here we find that we are to ask for forgiveness of specific sins. Take with you words.
Amen.
Speak to the Lord. God wants to hear from you. He wants you to bring your heavy burden to Him, child of God. He wants you to come to Him with your need. Now, let me say also that those that are lost, the Lord wants you to come to Him.
Amen.
He's concerned about you. God wants to hear from you. We need to pray and ask for forgiveness. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says that we're to humble ourselves and pray.
Yes.
"If my people which are called by my name shall do what? humble themselves and pray.
Amen.
Amen. Turn from the wicked ways. We could go on, but you get the idea. And then it says here, take away all iniquity. And that means don't give ground to Satan. We live in an age where there's so many things that are picking at us.
Right.
I mean, they're there. We stopped at the Dollar General. I needed to get a bottle of this. I always carry some. I used to carry Benaca in the bottle, but you can't get it anymore. And I needed some. And there at the checkout counter, got all those old magazines. Amen?
Right.
Amen. Just don't burn the store with them. But that's just, it reminds me of this preacher who was preaching about a beer joint down the road from the church, and he kept saying, pray the Lord will burn it down, pray the Lord will burn it down. And one night the building was up in flames. I mean, that beer joint was burning down, and the police had one of his sweet ladies of the church all locked up. I mean, had the handcuffs on her. And the preacher said, what did you do? He said, she said, I put feet to my prayers. I didn't just say I do. You know, I didn't just pray about it. I did it. Well, be careful what you do. It's important that we're careful about that. But it says, take away all iniquity. You know what that means? Agree with God that you're, when you're wrong.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, you say, Lord, I've had to do it.
Yes.
Now, married men know how to do that better than most people. They know how to say, I'm sorry. They know how to say, it was my fault. They know how to say, sweetheart, forgive me. Amen?
Right.
Men know how to do that. Now, some of them are afraid to say amen. I'm just joking. Listen, we need to say, Lord, I've sinned. I have not done right. But, you know, we want to keep little things. We like to keep... Now, I've got some men in our church, and bless them, and may have some here, that they want to hold on to a little sin. If they're wearing blue jeans, you can see this little round circle right yonder. Y'all know what makes a round circle like that? Huh? Uh-huh. Skull. Now, we got some soul brothers down where I live, but then we got some skull brothers.
Right.
And I know, listen, I know what I'm doing now. I know these barns aren't on fire when they're smoking. I realize that. But there are things, I mean, there are things that harm us. We ought to know what to do. Amen? Now, when I was pastoring in Arkansas, there was a little lady that lived next to the church. She belonged to a church that believed you could live above sin. She really did. Now, I don't want to disappoint you, but I believe you can live above sin. You can rent a room above a honky-tonk. You can live above sin. But that's the only way you can do it.
Right.
Now, she did. She believed she had reached sinless perfection. Elderly lady. And I went over to her humble home one day, and I sat down and I said, now, Ms. Williams, you believe you can live above sin? She said, yes, I can. And you believe you've reached sinless perfection? She said, yes, I have. Well, she's got this 3-pound can over there that she can spit and hit every time. Never miss. And drool, remember the old drooling? I mean out of both sides and just drooling out just a little. And that means you're on the level when it goes up both sides instead of just one. And she's on the level. And I said, Miss Williams, now listen, what about this snuff? She used to get the ones in the jars. Now that's back a ways, isn't it? And I said, Miss Williams, don't you believe that this dip in this snuff is a sin? She said, no, sir, preacher, anything this good can't be sin. Well, she missed it, didn't she? And that's what people want to do. They want to hold on to a little something. They got a little something they don't want to give up. That's the way we are. And then it says, so will we render the calves of our lips. You know, the Lord wants more of you. And He wants you more than He does your stuff.
Amen.
What did they do in the Old Testament times? They would give a sacrifice. But the Lord wants the calves of our lips.
Amen.
He wants us to render ourselves unto Him and speak unto Him and be close unto Him. He wants that. Now, I don't think it's wrong to have nice things. I think it's wrong to let nice things have you.
Amen.
You become worldly. And America needs to see what is said in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Now, Hosea 14:3 talks about worldly alliances and getting in with other countries. And see, that's what we're trying to do today. We're trying to line up with heathens.
Right.
It says, Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. Asher shall not save us. Let me tell you something. Joining up with some heathen country is not going to save us. It's the Lord who will save us. And I don't know about you, but and I'm going to be very truthful with you, homosexuals in the military is not the way to save America. And women in submarines.
Right.
That's stupid.
Amen.
I mean, you're nuts. Absolutely nuts. But you know what's happened? We've gotten away from the Word of God. We've gotten away from the teaching of the Word of God. We've got heathens running this country.
Amen.
Hopefully some of those heathens will go home after tomorrow.
Amen.
But then some other heathens could take their place. I don't know. I hope we get some good ones. Amen.
Amen.
I pray they'll do what's right. I pray that they'll overturn some things.
Amen.
Pray that they'll have guts to do it.
Right.
Amen. We need revival. And then in verses 4 and 5 of Hosea 14, we find the divine response to true repentance. That means we can expect revival. And there are some I wills here. And in verse number 4, we find two of those I wills. I want you to see them. I will heal their backsliding. I will heal their backsliding. That's what the Bible says. I will heal their backsliding. You see, sick folks need healing. We're praying for folks that need healing. And backslidden conditions need to be healed.
Amen.
When a person is backslid, they're sin sick.
Amen.
That's what's wrong with them. They're sin sick. And I found out that sick people don't want to eat. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. And I remember I was in the hospital about 3 years ago, and man, I was sick. I lost 27 pounds. My clothes was hanging on me. Now, I didn't want to eat anything. They brought in that chicken broth. You sure don't want to eat none of that. Amen. I mean, that don't heal nobody. I think what they do with that chicken broth is warm up some water and drag a chicken through it. Because there's nothing to that stuff. But I didn't want to eat. And you know what? There are some people who are not here tonight because they're not hungry.
Right.
They're not hungry. They don't want the Bible. They don't want the things of God. They're sick.
Right.
And they don't even know it. You know, people can be sick and not even know it. They don't think they're sick, but they are. Exodus 15:26 says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah 3:22, return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. See, God's there. He's waiting. Return to Him. Be healed. And it says, here, I will love them freely. The love of God is an unending love. It's a love that is freely flowing from Him. And He tells His children, I want to love you. I want you to be close up to me. I want to love you freely. Jeremiah 31 in verse 3 says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. forth loving kindness have I drawn thee. He's loved us with an everlasting love. You go out into eternity past as far as you want to go, and put down a stop, and the love of God will come out to you. You go into eternity future as far as you can go and put down a stop, and the love of God will come get you. Amen? He's loved us with an everlasting love. I will love them freely. His love is there. And oh, listen, God loved us when we didn't deserve it. You may be here tonight and you say, I don't deserve salvation. I know I'm lost, but I don't deserve it. None of us did. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated His love in that He sent His Son to take our place, to be crucified, to be buried, to be raised again. Then in verse 5 it says, I will be as the dew unto Israel. I will be as the dew. You know what dew speaks of? It speaks of refreshment. You know that the sheep get a lot of refreshment from the dew in the morning? I mean, they're able to go out and get some moisture from that. When I was a little boy, I remember riding the old yellow school bus, jumping off the porch at Grandma Goff's house and not having my shoes on. I hated to put those rascals on. I wouldn't put them on until I was about at the schoolhouse, put them on in the bus. Had a little dog named Cinders. Some of y'all might remember a program Casey Jones used to be on years ago, and had a little dog named Cinders, and I named my little Boston Bull Cinders. And he'd run through the field with me, and that dew would be all over my feet. I was refreshed. God wants to refresh you with the dew. There are several things about the dew. The dew forms in the stillness. If you've got a windy night, you don't have dew. It's got to be still. You know what's wrong with us? We don't ever get still anymore. We don't get still. Man, it's wild down where I live. Ball game, soccer game, football, baseball. And it goes on. They used to not have ball games on Wednesday. Now they got them on Wednesday. And used to not have them on Sunday. And now they have them on Sunday afternoon. And people's all into all of that. And the women belong to these scrapbooking clubs. And now I'm not against scrapbooking clubs. And all of that kind of stuff. But if it gets you away from the things of God, it's the wrong thing. Amen? It's a substitute. So we need to get still. I've made a rule in my life, no physical food until I've had spiritual food. I'm not going to have anything to eat until I've gotten into the Word and I've spent time in the Word of God. You say, well, I read my Bible at the end of the day. Yeah, you do. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might... That's what happens to some of you. I read my Bible every night. All three verses. Oh, get into the Word. We used to have what were called quiet times. Nobody talks about a quiet time anymore. Some of you younger people don't even know what a quiet time is. That's a time when it's just you and God. In a place. I have a place. And that's where I get. And that's where I'm at. And leave me alone. And turn off the phone. Don't ask me a question. It's a quiet time. You need that. You need the stillness so God can move and work. And then dew forms in the night. You don't have dew forming in the day. Dew forms in the night. You know what happens whenever we get in a dark time in our life? We got to get still and we get on our knees. A lot of times we don't get right with God until it gets really bad. Isn't that a sad thing? I mean, we got to get in bad trouble. I go to the hospital, people call me, and I run to the hospital, preacher, we're going to get right with God if He'll just bring us out of this. Why didn't you get right with God before this? I don't tell them that. But I'm thinking it. Amen?
Right.
Why not get right with God before the trouble comes? Dew forms heaviest in the valley. Where I live, whenever I come down from my neighbor's house, Keith McGee, and drive down the hill, you know what happens? In the wintertime especially, my windshield fogs over. I have to turn on the wipers because I live down lower. And I'll have a heavier frost than he does, and I'll have a heavier dew than he does because I'm in the valley. You ever get down? And I get down. Oh, preacher, come on. Aren't you one of those health and wealth preachers? Let me tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you. I get down like everybody else does. I have my times. You do too. I mean, we're human. And in those times, when I'm in the valley, He restoreth my soul. These things are not without their purpose. Amen? They are. And then, listen to this closely now. And don't answer me. I'm going to ask you a question, but I don't want an answer. Does the dew come down or does the dew come up? Good question, isn't it? Now, somebody would say it comes down. Others would say it comes up. It doesn't do either. The dew's always there. But when the conditions get right, the dew forms. You see, the dew's always in the atmosphere. But when the conditions get right, that's when the dew forms. You know when the revival's going to come? When the conditions get right.
Amen.
And you're not going to have revival at Olmsted Baptist Church until conditions get right.
Amen.
Now, I don't know what those conditions are for this church, but friends, I know that it will happen when the conditions get right.
Amen.
That's according to the Word of God. Now, I want us to see something else. In verse 5 and down through verse 8, we have the definite results of true repentance and how we can expect revival. It says, He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. He shall grow as a lily. That speaks of upward growth. Man, my wife's got some lilies up there by the house. It's a big patch of them. And you know what those lilies do? They look upwards. You know, early in the morning and that, boy, they're there. They grow like the lily. You see, sin takes us down, but repentance lifts us up so we can be a light into the world. We're not to hide our light under a bushel. We're to let our light shine. I like that little song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. But you got to put your finger up. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine all over Logan County, I'm going to let it shine. Shine all over Todd County, I'm going to let it shine. Shine all over, and just all these counties, let her shine, amen? Even down in that place they call Tennessee.
Amen.
I mean, let her shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Cast forth his roots as Lebanon, speaks of downward growth and getting deep. Downward growth speaks of the root being rooted. They say the harder the wind blows, the deeper the roots go in the cedars of Lebanon. I've seen those cedars, and man, they're tough. They're tough. You and I need to be tough for the Lord. We do. We do. And verse 6 says, His branches shall spread, and His beauty shall be as the olive tree and his smell as Lebanon. This speaks of outward growth, an outward influence. It speaks of living for the Lord, of a sweet smell, of people who are influencing others, reaching out to others. That's what we've got to do. It's important that we go and we do. Now, notice with me verse 7. Hosea 14, verse 7. Notice what it says. It says, "They that dwell under His shadow shall return." Now, that word "dwell" is important. Everything in this book is important. Amen? "They that dwell under His shadow shall return." You better stay under His authority. I believe that the Lord's church is His authority on this earth.
Amen.
I believe you ought to be a part of a local, visible, New Testament Baptist church. I believe that's important.
Amen.
It is. And you got to get there and stay there, and you need to get under His authority, and then you need to individually be under the Lord's influence, and then what's going to happen? You're going to get right. But you got to stay with it. I went down to the church. I went two nights of the revival. I didn't get nothing out of it. It says dwell.
Amen.
It says stay. You know what? We have this idea of drive-through.
Right.
Now, I like that Wildberry thing they got at McDonald's right now. What is that thing? A smoothie? I like that Wildberry thing. I was in a rush the other day. And I got up in that line. And I got my money ready. And they told me how much my small smoothie was going to be. And somebody up in front of me had a bigger order than my little smoothie. And I got to tapping my foot. Got to tapping on the steering wheel. And then I looked at my watch. It had been a whole 2 minutes. You know what's wrong with us? We don't want to wait on anything.
That's
truth, isn't it?
That's right.
But to get right with God and for the church to have the power of God, you're going to have to wait on God.
Amen.
Let God move. It's not what you want, it's what He wants.
Amen.
And then it says, "They shall revive as a corn." That's the promise of God. You see, twisted corn needs to get straight. In 1987, I moved from the New Horizon Baptist Church in Ward, Arkansas, to the Central Baptist Church of Marion, Kentucky. It was a terrible, hot, dry summer in 1987. And one of my deacons, Brother Glenn Cox, came in and he said, "Preacher, we've got to have rain." He said, "We're going to lose our corn crop." He said, "The corn is twisted in the field." Any of y'all know what that means? It's twisted in the field. It's crooked. So we prayed for rain. Thank the Lord He sent rain. Man, they're about to flood down home right now. I talked to my wife earlier and talked to one of my men, talked to one of my daughters, I think, and whatever. I talked to several of them down yonder. And they're getting a good rain. They're getting a sod-soaking rain. But we got that rain, and that corn got straight. It got the moisture. Now, what did we say about the dew? You see, you get right with God, and you stay where He wants you, then the refreshment's going to come, the water's going to come, and you'll get straightened out.
Amen.
Because part of our problem is we don't want to get straight.
Yep.
Right.
We kind of like where we're at. We like to hold on to our little skull brother. We like the things that we do. We enjoy some of these things. There was a fellow that I knew years ago, and I pastored in another church, and one of my men said of that fellow, he said, "You know what? When he dies, they're going to have to screw him in the ground." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "He's as crooked as a snake." Wouldn't that be a terrible testimony to have? Terrible. So we need to be right with God. And then we're going to grow as a vine, it says. And it talks about a scent. All of these things are important. And then the last verse here, verse number 8 that I want to look at, it says, Ephraim shall say, what am I to do anymore with idols? Whenever we get right, whenever we get straight, when everything gets like it ought to be, we'll say, what am I to do with all this stuff? I don't need any idols. I have heard Him. Have you heard from God? And observed Him. I've seen what God can do. Have you seen what God can do? Has God ever answered a prayer for you?
Amen.
I have seen what God can do. I've seen it. I have. Then the Lord is speaking in the last part of this verse where He says, I am like a green fir tree, from me is thy fruit found. You know where you're going to get your fruit from spiritually? You're not going to get it out of some book from the Lifeway bookstore. You're going to get it from the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You want revival? Well, here are the ingredients. Here it is. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in Thee. I want to rejoice. I like rejoicing. I'd rather rejoice than be all poochy.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Let's rejoice.